Can you imagine what it would be like to be blind or partially sighted 100 years ago? Seeing Our History is an RNIB Scotland project funded by the Heritage Lottery Fund that explores this question in Edinburgh, the Lothians and the Borders. Our volunteers have researched the lives of those referred to as the outdoor blind because they didn't live in blind institutions. In this series of podcasts, you can experience their struggles and successes brought to life through the real experiences of people with sight loss. Here's Joan Kerr to tell us about poor houses.
Poor houses were the last resort for the destitute. In the 1900s, the Register for Outdoor Blind for Edinburgh and the neighbouring counties was arranged by localities. However, there are also pages dedicated to poor houses where paupers were sent under the provisions of the 1845 Poor Law Act. If someone was disabled, friendless, and without a penny to their name, their last resort was an appeal to the poor law. Such desperation might see them being admitted to a poor house. The poor law was funded by ratepayers. It was not designed to be generous. In each parish, it was overseen by an inspector of poor. He might authorise food, a blanket, or a small cash allowance. But if claimants were in poor health and homeless, the inspector had the option of placing them in a poor house. In Edwardian society in the southeast of Scotland, blind people were found in various poor houses. In Edinburgh, these were at Craiglocker and Craigleith. Other poor houses were in places such as Linlithgow, Peebles, Jedburgh, and Berwick. These so-called paupers were people who were unable to support themselves and without family to take them in. People who ended up in poor houses might well have felt abandoned, although the missionaries to the outdoor blind visited poor houses. It's difficult to judge if they had much engagement with their blind inmates. Blind people in a poor house may have felt that they had more pressing concerns than hearing the preachings of the missionaries or being taught how to read raised type. In reality, many of the poor house inmates remained anonymous. First names were not recorded by the missionaries. Indeed, there is an example of someone simply being entered on the blind register as woman. She was in Hawick Poor House, where her anonymity was complete. She was unknown and seemingly unloved. Seeing Our History's research historian is Ian Hutchison. Ian, did paupers admitted to the poor house have to do work like picking oakum?
No. Scottish poor houses were not like the English workhouses. They were not open to the able-bodied, only to those disabled from working. People with sight loss admitted to a poor house would therefore have been judged as disabled. However, poor house inmates would often be allocated duties of a domestic nature.
What kind of people were to be found in poor houses then?
People who were not able-bodied. For example, people who were disabled from working to support themselves. Besides people with physical, sensory or mental impairments, there were many elderly people disabled by chronic ill health and frailty. There were also mothers with very young children, widows, deserted wives, and abandoned single mothers.
So was admission to a poor house an easy option?
It was often the final safety net for destitute people. But life in the poor house was a frugal one. Poor house managers were always under pressure from parochial boards to keep costs down. The ratepayers demanded to know that their money was being used sparingly and that people were not being admitted if they had other options.
What other options could they possibly have?
It was often believed that paupers must have relatives somewhere who should be taking responsibility for them. Efforts were regularly made to track down relations and to get them to take over the financial burden being carried by the ratepayers.
But we're talking about Edwardian times. Poor houses were still in use then.
Yes, indeed. Many of the cases we have studied lived through the 19th century and would have been well familiar with the poor house. They were quite old by the Edwardian period. However, the poor law went through various revisions and remained present until the creation of the National Health Service in 1948.
That was Seeing Our History's research historian, Ian Hutchison. Howie is a case investigated by research volunteer Maura McMurchie. It's an example of a woman who grew up during the Poor Law but lived well into the era of the welfare state. For six decades, until her death in 1964 at the age of 81 years, Mary Howie had lived in a tenement house at 16 Loughran Place in Edinburgh. Mary's mother came from humble means, but her father, Lindsay Howie, was from an established family of artists and portrait photographers. Mary should have had a comfortable life, but by 1890, when she was eight, her father was dead. Her mother took her and her two brothers to live in her parents' overcrowded tenement house. At that time, Mary was recorded as being blind from childhood. Her widowed mother was supporting her children as a worker in the unpleasant environment of a rubber factory. But with family support, her widowed mother and her brothers were lucky. They were not cast on the Poor Law to survive. In 1911, when Mary was approaching her 29th birthday, her two brothers were working in the print industry. They were supporting Mary, her mother, and her grandmother in a two-room dwelling at 16 Loughran Place. Mary's younger brother, Thomas, was killed in action during the Great War. George, her older brother, married in 1927 when he was already 47 years of age. After her mother died in 1935, Mary continued to live in Loughran Place. We don't know if she lived alone for the next 30 years, but it may be that she led a totally independent life during and beyond the Second World War. It is left to future historians to trace her story when census returns for and after 1921 become available. However, she did survive within society. By her later years, she was able to get an old age state pension. She could benefit from free medical care. Ironically, she died in what had been Craiglockert Poor House, but not as a pauper. Craiglockert had been taken over by the NHS in 1948. It was now Craiglockert Hospital, offering full medical care to everyone without stigmatising them as paupers. And there was also care facilities for the elderly on site. Moira McMurchie is the research volunteer who investigated Mary's life. Now, Moira, Mary seems to have had an unsettled childhood.
She had no father figure, it seems. Despite her parents having three children, they seem to have had an uneasy relationship. Her father died when she was eight, and at that time he was living apart from his family, in lodgings.
So what happened next?
Her mother returned to her parents' home in Fountain Bridge, and she had to earn a wage to help support her children, so the portrait photographer's wife was now having to make rubber coats in a factory.
What about Mary? Did she ever work?
From the little evidence we have, it seems she did some knitting in her early years. This was work that the missions from the Outdoor Blind encouraged. But apart from that, it appears that it was her family that ensured her well-being. Of course, by the time she reached old age, the welfare state had been introduced, and that would have helped her.
How active a role do you think Mary played in the wider family relationships? What do you think Mary's relationship was with her brothers?
Well, Mary was probably very close to her big brother George. For example, when George eventually married Agnes, who had been a nursing sister in Bradford, it was Mary who acted as a witness. Obviously, she could not write, but the register carries her mark in the form of a cross. When I find this on the register, it was extremely exciting for me.
That was Moira McMurchie, the research volunteer who investigated Mary's life.
This podcast is part of a project by RNIB Scotland, supported by the Heritage Lottery Fund, which explores the experiences of outdoor blind people living in Edinburgh, the Borders and the Lothians 100 years ago. For more information about the Seeing Our History project, please go to insightradio.co.uk/seeingourhistory.
Sadie was just 10 when her ma was whisked away to the place for them who've lost their heads, or so they say. She'd led a sad, hard life, domestic servant to her own, then landed in strife in the poorhouse all alone. Come on in, come on in, welcome to our booking house. We'll squeeze you in, squeeze you in. How do you like your tea? boat, just half a crown.